for the 1215 News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW-WOKZ weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 80. Tonight, clear with a low of 55. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. Fairfield Mayor Brent McGuire says he will resign from his position in the coming days. While still working on an official letter of resignation for the City Council, he anticipates the move to be effective on August 23rd at 11:59 p.m., meaning an acting mayor would take the office on the 24th. Mayor McGuire says he applied for a position with Oakland City University teaching criminal justice. OCU offered him the position yesterday, and it comes with the understanding that he will move to program coordinator when he finishes his master's degree. He is enrolled to finish the degree at a separate university, and he says he has 12 of 31 necessary hours and is on track to complete it at the end of April. The mayor says he considered staying on in his position before deciding it wasn't fair to city residents.
I considered what was best for the city of Fairfield and the employees as far as do I try to maintain the mayorship, because the only way that a vacancy is created in the mayorship is if you die or you resign. Nothing that would require me to resign. But as I thought about it, I thought I'm working out of town. The day-to-day stuff I'm not going to really be available for. That's probably not fair to the citizens and to the employees to try to hold on to that.
Mayor McGuire says the council will hear his letter of resignation at Tuesday's meeting, and he also gave a brief overview of the replacement process.
If the mayor tenders a resignation letter, and it has to be done in writing for it to be official and it has to be notarized, at that point that would create a vacancy in the mayor's office, and the procedure is that the council would elect one of their own. They would nominate and vote on who would be acting mayor to finish the remainder of the term. And I realize that we have a variety of backgrounds and experiences.
Alderman may also table the matter on Tuesday and call a special meeting at a later date. The acting mayor would still serve as an alderman and thus must choose to vote at council meetings as an alderman or as acting mayor. Alternatively, they could resign their alderman position to serve as acting mayor full-time, at which point they could appoint a successor for their seat after approval from the council. The consolidated election for the mayor position will be held in the spring. More news next.
Hi folks, this is Sandy at Gill Sales. Boy, aren't we in some crazy times. Freezers are mostly impossible to find, as are a host of other things. We are still here to serve you in whatever capacity we can. Should your freezer go down, we'll be glad to try to help you with repairs if possible. Hopefully things will straighten out soon so we can get back to some form of sanity. Huh, don't think we knew how great normal was. Thanks for your continued business, folks. We appreciate it. Call Gill Sales and Service at 847-7066 if we can be of assistance.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Take a break with a fresh beef quarter pounder with cheese and pair it with a $1 any size Coca-Cola. Price and participation may vary. Fresh beef available at most restaurants and listening area. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities.
In other news, a 16-year-old Barnhill resident was lifelighted to Deaconess Hospital in Evansville, Indiana, after a single vehicle accident yesterday. According to police reports, at approximately 7 p.m., the teen was southbound on a county highway roughly 1 mile southeast of Fairfield, lost control, ran off the west side of the road, and rolled their 2007 Chevrolet 1500. A tow truck was called to the scene, and Wayne County EMS also responded. The vehicle sustained over $1,500 damage. 55-year-old Sims resident Delbert D. Kitchell was sentenced Tuesday in Wayne County Circuit Court. He pleaded guilty in March to a count of aggravated DUI, and he was sentenced to 24 months probation plus time served. Several other cases were dismissed per his plea, and Kitchell was ordered to pay $2,986 in fines and court costs. The Edwards County 4-H has announced the results of its beef and swine shows. Eight 4-H'ers participated in the beef show, including Haley Beerster and Skylar Greathouse in Bucket Beef, Haley Shelton, Chase Shelton, and River Greathouse in Market Class, Cody Greathouse and Wyatt Greathouse in Hereford Registered 18-Month and Up Heifer, and Lainey Stevens in All Other Breeds Registered 12 to 18 Months Heifer. Exhibitors in the swine show included Lainey Stevens, Braden Sanford, Kaylee Sanford, Cody Greathouse, Wyatt Greathouse, Brooke Greathouse, Cheyenne Summerfield, and Cheyenne Duncan in Market Swine. Cheyenne Duncan also exhibited in Crossbred Gilt by Weight, Braden Sanford and Kaylee Sanford in Purebred Barrow by Weight, and Cheyenne Summerfield in Purebred Gilt born after January 1st. All members in both shows received blue ribbons. The Wayne County Health Department announced 3 additional cases of COVID-19 yesterday, 2 females in their 30s and a female in her 60s. The cases brought the county's total to 55. One person was hospitalized, 18 were isolating at home, 35 had recovered, and one person with the virus passed away. Edwards County announced 2 new cases yesterday to bring its total to 21. Both cases were in isolation at home. Hamilton County announced 1 additional case, its 30th overall. 17 people were isolating at home, 12 had recovered, and one person with the virus had passed away. Jefferson County added 8 new cases to reach 230, and it also reported 2 deaths from an outbreak at a long-term care facility. Initial cases from the outbreak were reported by the IDPH as being at the Mount Vernon Healthcare Center, though the Jefferson County Health Department did not identify the facility. The departments say the number of cases can be reduced by adhering to Restore Illinois recommendations, washing hands frequently, disinfecting surfaces, and socially distancing. The State Department of Public Health announced 1,759 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday and 30 additional deaths. Statewide totals sat at 186,471 cases and 7,573 deaths. Marion County added 10 new cases, White County 3 new cases, and Lawrence and Richland counties 1 new case each. The preliminary statewide positivity rate for July 29th through August 4th was 3.9%. The positivity rate for the southern region dropped slightly to 7.2% on August 2nd, though the mark is still the highest in the state. 2 Grayville Police Patrol vehicles were damaged last night in a pursuit, according to a Facebook post from the police department. Police were reportedly notified a driver of a Ford F-150 was visibly under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and officers saw the vehicle weaving in its lane and speeding. After initially halting for a traffic stop, the driver, identified as Timothy L. Shaver, fled south to Interstate 64, reaching speeds of 90 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Shaver drove to Indiana, then crossed the median to the interstate's westbound lanes and returned to Illinois. After exiting onto Route 1 south to Crossville, Shaver reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. Grayville Police Chief David Burrows joined the pursuit and attempted to block the roadway at the intersection of Route 1 and Main Street in Crossville. Shaver then rammed the vehicle and continued south. Grayville units continued the pursuit, with speeds again reaching triple digits. Officer Mike Brown was eventually able to overtake the vehicle and blocked its path at a county road intersection in White County. Shaver then rammed Officer Brown's vehicle and attempted to back up, only to hit Chief Burrow's vehicle and become pinned. Shaver then was arrested and taken into custody. He was transported to the White County Jail, where he faces charges of aggravated fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer, DUI, speeding, reckless driving, driving with a revoked license, aggravated battery on a police officer, and numerous traffic violations. He was also found to have outstanding warrants from Tippecanoe and Carroll counties in Indiana. The Cisney Reunion continues tonight with its annual Tiny Tot, Little Miss, and Miss Cisney Reunion pageants. Appearing on the Community Connection with 2019 Miss Cisney Reunion Hannah Callahan, Reunion co-president Catherine Baker gave a rundown on the contests.
Tonight, Thursday night, we've got our Tiny Tot, Little Miss, and Miss pageants. We have 3 little Tiny Tot girls on stage for the first time. And then we have 3 Little Miss girls. And Miss Auburn Barnfield is retiring her Little Miss crown. And then we have 6 Miss contestants. and Miss Hannah will be retiring her crown.
Pageants will begin tonight at 7, and bingo will also run from 7 to 9 at the Masonic Shelter. Tomorrow's events include the country music group Borderline at 7 p.m., and Saturday kicks off with 5K and Fun Run registration from 6 to 7 a.m. The Fun Run will begin at 7:30, and its entry fee is $5, or $15 for those who want a shirt. The 5K will begin at 8, and it will cost $20 today or tomorrow, and $25 Saturday morning. The annual Sisney Parade will be at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, and the parade marshal will be Judy Beckel. The reunion will conclude with the Brat Pack taking the stage at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Baker says the reunion committee has taken some measures in response to COVID-19.
All of our vendors are kind of pushed back a little bit. Food trucks are more into the street. We've been able to spread those out further than before, which makes more room on the square, like up towards the stage, for people to bring, when they bring their lawn chairs, to spread out a little bit. The fire department is not serving in their shelter this year, and the Masonic Lodge is not serving in their shelter, so we were able to use where the bingo tent used to go. Well, we spread out vendors into that area, and we've actually have more grass room to set tables up to kind of spread people out when they're eating. We will have masks available if people wish to have them or forget theirs at the reunion booth, which booth. This year we will be at the fire stand. And then we will also be placing hand sanitizer around all the different areas. We'll have it available for people. And then we even had our porta potty people bring in another hand washing station.
There will be children's activities throughout the event, though bounce houses will not appear due to the virus. We'll have more information on upcoming events at the reunion tomorrow and Saturday. State Representative Darren Bailey has filed a petition to hold Governor J.B. Pritzker in civil contempt, saying he has continued to ignore a valid court ruling that his COVID-19 executive orders after April 8th are null and void. On July 2nd, Clay County Circuit Judge Michael McCaney ruled the governor overstepped his authority in issuing emergency orders after April 8th. The state said it intended to have one count in that court case dismissed and then appeal. The new filing accuses the governor of imposing three new orders, two on July 24th and one on July 27th. It asks the court to require Governor Pritzker to show cause as to why he should not be in contempt. It also asks the court to order him to rescind the latest three orders or to hold him in the Clay County Jail until he complies. Bailey says the General Assembly should meet in special session to address the public health issues surrounding COVID-19. He said the latest filing isn't about a political battle, but it is about the law. He believes the one-person orders from the governor run counter to representative government, and he believes the General Assembly has a duty to act, which has thus far been ignored by the governor. For his part, Governor Pritzker downplayed the actions of Clay County's court.
All I can say is the rulings out of Clay County have been ridiculous. There's no other court that has ruled as they have on the matter that they ruled on. And in fact, there's a judge on Friday who specifically pointed to Clay County and said that the decision by that judge was bereft of any legal analysis. And I think that's accurate.
Yesterday afternoon, the state Supreme Court announced a number of court cases filed by Bailey's attorney Thomas DeVore in southern Illinois will be moved to Springfield. The state is investing $40 million in a new inland port project in far southern Illinois. Kim Howard has the story.
Governor J.B. Pritzker is releasing the first $4 million towards the project, a river terminal in Caro at the confluence of the Mississippi and Ohio rivers.
Caro represents an enormous economic opportunity for investors, for the state of Illinois, and for our working families. 80% of inland barge traffic passes by this city every day. That represents a wealth of untapped potential sailing by. But not any longer.
Area Senator Dale Fowler says it's time the struggling community reap the benefits.
Today we begin the mission of establishing Caro, Illinois, as the nation's hub for riverport transportation opportunities, which will, upon completion, be one of the largest economic development investments made in southern Illinois in decades.
Officials say construction of the new river terminal will create hundreds of jobs as well. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
$1 billion has been returned to Illinoisans and others under the direction of the state's treasurer. Mike Frerich says in the past 5 years, his office has also streamlined the process for people to receive their unclaimed property.
First, we replaced a 16-year-old computer system. You cannot improve a program with outdated infrastructure. Then, we worked with others to change state law that governs unclaimed property to make it more consumer-friendly. It was the most significant revision in 50 years.
In the previous 5 years, about $700 million was distributed by the office. Frerich says the state still has roughly $3.5 billion in its unclaimed property fund, and people may use the iCash database at illinoistreasurer.gov to potentially claim property. That's the news. Area deaths next.
Darf, I've got to ask you, how has the one-year anniversary sale been so far?
It's been great. We have had a wonderful time. We'd like to, first of all, thank everyone who's taken the time to stop by, allowed us the opportunity to earn their business, help them find new furniture, new mattress sets, new recliners, new lift chairs, a little bit of everything.
So by the sounds of it, Darv, is the one-year anniversary sale winding down?
That's right. This Saturday, it's all over with.
The sale wraps up this Saturday, August 8th?
Yep. This Saturday, it's all going to come down to a close. Everything in the store is on sale. We're celebrating our one-year anniversary. We're going to be running all the special prices through Saturday.
Darv, what would you tell the listeners who've been in, they've shopped you, they've browsed, haven't pulled the trigger yet, or they've been waiting back, deciding, analyzing?
Now's the time.
Interior Sit and Sleep, North 6th Street, Vincennes, across from Dumas. The sale ends this Saturday. Don't miss out.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 77. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers. Brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial representative, located at 101 East Delaware, Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 27,243, up 42. The NASDAQ is 11,034, up 35. September crude oil is at $42.26. That is up 7 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 67-year-old Jeff resident Trina Klein died on Tuesday. She was a librarian technician for Frontier Community College. Trina Klein is survived by her husband, Robert, children Robin Adcock of Fairfield, Dusty Van Horn of Jeff, and Les Klein of Sisney, sister Gina Worthen of Grayville, and 9 grandchildren. Per Trina Klein's wishes, cremation was accorded and there will be no services. Memorials may be directed to the family, and they will be accepted at Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home, which is in charge of arrangements. 95-year-old former Fairfield resident Joe Felix died on Monday. He was an accountant. Joe Felix is survived by 2 daughters, 3 grandchildren, 1 great-granddaughter, sister Anita Dickey of Fairfield, 5 stepchildren, and several nieces and nephews. No formal services for Joe Felix will be held at this time. Burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery, and a celebration of life with full military rites will be held in the spring. Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Welcome to Asbury & Associates. I'm proud to be a new member of their medical team and to help continue the legacy of excellent, outstanding care they provided for women of the area.
Dr. Daniel Moore just arrived from West Virginia to join the medical team at Asbury & Associates. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Moore looks forward to helping women of all ages with their OBGYN needs.
I look forward to seeing you at Asbury & Associates, where we take care of women through all stages of life.
Asbury & Associates, with 4 offices to serve you.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 forecast for today. Sunny skies with a high today of 80. Clear skies tonight with a low of 55 and sunny skies tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 82. The outlook for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, mostly sunny on Saturday with a high of 88 and low of 68. Scattered showers on Sunday. Sunday's high will be around 88 with a low of 72. And scattered showers on Monday. Monday will have a high of 90 with an overnight low of 72.